Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's open our Bibles, please. Turn to the Gospel of Mark. This is the study that we go together. We are in the third chapter, and today we're going to look together into the second half of Mark chapter 3. I'm immensely enjoying the study of the Gospel of Mark because it really helped us. I'm speaking for myself, of course, help me to, you might say, go back to the roots of the days in which the Messiah, Yeshua, came to this world, how he was born, where he was born, what he have accomplished, how the reaction of our nation, the nation of Israel, was at the time when he first came, the struggles that Israelis, the Jewish people have gone through, when he claimed to be divine. All these things are amazing as we study the Gospels and we see the reaction of the people of Israel in those days and how he related to the nation of Israel. And so we are in Mark chapter 3 from verse 20. And so I'm reading, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Baal Zevuv, and by the prince of the demons casteth he out demons. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And a multitude set about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, and my sister, and my mother." This is the end of the reading today. Mark 3, verse 20 to verse 35. In preparation for this study of this second half of chapter 3 of the Gospel of Mark, I noticed that in these verses, which we just read together, verse 20 to verse 35, you might say there are two destinations. The one destination is the destination of eternal relationship with God. And the other destination is, you might say, eternal separation from God. What Yeshua was teaching here in the Galil, in the land of Israel, among our own people Israel, some 2,000 years ago, he was teaching them a principle, a very important principle, that one might be eternally related to God, to the Messiah, and spend time and eternity with Him forever and ever, or one might be separated from the Messiah and spend eternal separation from God, eternal separation from the Messiah. And really, what he's really saying, that all have to make that choice in their lifetime. And you and I can say this for us even today in this ministry meeting. We are either in or we are out. We are either believers or unbelievers. We are either going to heaven or we are going to hell. We are either saved or we are lost. There is no in between. There is not standing on a fence. There is no way for young, for old, for boys, for girls, for men and women. It doesn't matter who we are, Jewish or Gentile. We are either in or we go out. We are either saved or we are lost. We are either going to heaven or we are going to hell. We are either believers or unbelievers. And so Mark chapter 3 is tremendous chapter, but of course we have to read it in context of the people to whom he wrote. Now, to remind you that the Gospel of Mark represents Yeshua the Messiah as the servant of the Lord. He is the one of whom, as we have just studied yesterday, he is the one of whom Isaiah said in chapter 42 and verse 1, "Behold my servant." God is saying, "Whom I uphold, he is mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations." This is the Mashiach. This is the Messiah whom Isaiah, by the word of the Lord, spoke to Israel, our people of old, some 700 years before Yeshua was even born. He was prophesying that the Mashiach will come, who is the Mesharet, who is the Eved, the servant of Jehovah. He is the one who is going to come to accomplish redemption. The promised one of Israel. The one that our forefathers have been waiting from generation to generation. And therefore the nation of Israel, especially who live in the time when Yeshua the Messiah was walking in the midst of them, they had a great responsibility, just as much as they had the great privilege to see with their eyes the Messiah, to hear with their ears the Messiah, to handle him with their hands, the Messiah, Yeshua himself. Privilege they had, but responsibility comes along with it. And so here we see, beloved brothers and sisters, really two major things that I would like to share with you in this ministry meeting. The first thing we can see, who are really the family that belong to God, belong to Yeshua the Messiah? And on the other hand, who are really not belong to Yeshua the Messiah and eventually will be separated from him for time and for eternity? And so we find out in verse 20 on, as we begin in the ministry, to remind you, just earlier, before the passage that we are on today, right now, Yeshua chosen 12 disciples. Shimon and Yaakov and Yohanan and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matityahu and Thomas and another Yaakov and Taddai and another Shimon. And the 12th one was this man by the name of Judas Iscariot, which also had betrayed him. If you will notice in Matthew and Mark and Luke, all these 12 names mention repeatedly in that list. He have chosen 12 men. He have chosen these Hebrew Jewish men, which he is going to use to be a blessing to the world a little bit even later on. He used them to serve him, to be his messengers, to be his shlichim, the apostles, a little bit later on. The list always began with Shimon, and it always end with Judas Iscariot. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the same list again three times in the Brit Hadasha, in the New Covenant. If you would turn to Acts chapter 1, you will find again the same list, but instead of 12, you have 11 there in Acts chapter 1. Again, Simon, Shimon, Petros is at the beginning, but then is missing a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. Because why? He betrayed the Messiah. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and eventually he hung himself because he could not stand the fact that he sold this righteous man by the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, and he eventually killed himself, and they had to add another one to make it 12 again, and they chosen by divine inspiration another man that is called Mattathias, and now they have 12 disciples once again. Those 12 disciples, to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, he said to them in Matthew chapter 19 that they will sit upon 12 thrones, and they are going to be the one that will rule over the nation of Israel in a messianic kingdom, in the regeneration, when Israel will be restored in the future day. But the same 12 disciples became the 12 apostles, the shlichim, and they became the foundation of the assembly, the church, as we read of them in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ye are built upon the apostles and the prophets, and he says, Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, the chief cornerstone, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. So after he finished to choose those 12 disciples, which become later on the apostles, now all of a sudden he went back into an house. Notice that chapter 3 and verse 19 said at the end, and they went into an house. Now we do not know which house it is. It may have been the very same house of Shimon Petros in the town Kfar Nachum, as we had it already in the earlier chapter. We never know if it is in the house of Shimon Petros and Andrew and his family. Maybe it was another house. Maybe he went back to Nazareth. We do not know, but he went back into a house. To me, it seems to be like the very same house in which he was there in Shimon Petros' house, where the multitude always came there in order to have him heal them and heal the sick and meet their need. And so in Mark chapter 3, and now in verse 20 and 21, we find out that the relative of Yeshua were very much concerned about him, and they heard about what he did and what people have done and said about him. They were very much concerned. They thought that Yeshua is beside himself. And that's why we read in verse 20 and 21, the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Can you imagine? So many people came into that house and waited outside and even wanted to get inside, that the disciples, along with the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, they could not even eat their meal. People are coming at the door. They are knocking at the door. They are coming in. They want to get in. They want him to heal many of them who were sick. Because all along, he was meeting their need, and a multitude follow after him. Now just imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, in the time when the Messiah was here, there were many rabbis, or rabbanim, as we say it in Hebrew, who had followers. Who had followers. And so they had followers, for example, like Shammai. He had his own school in his days. For example, Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer, he had his own disciples who followed after him. Any rabbi would have many followers. But no one had as many followers as Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah had. So many people had followed after him. It was amazing. You remember that we read in a previous verses, verse 9 of chapter 3? He spoke to his disciples that a small ship should be waiting for him because of the multitude, lest they would crush him. So many people followed after him. Now we wonder today, we're really wondering. Sometimes I'm really wondering, people following after all kind of movie stars, the singing stars, actors and so on, and there are multitude of just watching them and seeing them. But when you are speaking about Yeshua from Nazareth, Jesus, the Messiah, you find that a multitude do not follow after him, and it makes you wonder. But in those days, 2,000 years ago, they wanted to crush him because they so much wanted to be near him, to touch him, and to be beside him. He was a different rabbi, you might say, a different leader, you might say, a different teacher than all that were around in those days. It says in verse 10, and I'm just going a little bit to show you, of chapter 3, he had healed many, inasmuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw him, they fell down before him and cried, saying, "You are the Son of God." Imagine, beloved brothers and sisters. And so when we get to verse 20 of Mark chapter 3, the multitude came, they couldn't even eat in the house because the pressing of the people who wanted to touch him, he wanted him to heal them, they were coming and following after him, so they could not even eat. And then notice how interesting, in verse 21, his relative, the relative of Yeshua, was so concerned about him, they were thinking that he was mad. He was beside himself. Why? Because everybody was looking at him and considering him as a unique man, as the one that was promised by our forefathers, the Messiah that was going to come because of the miracle that he had done. And so we read in verse 21, and when his friends, that word in the Greek, his friends is para, which actually means in Hebrew, krovav, his relative. It's more than just his ordinary friends. These were actually his relative. His para, his krovim, his near kinsmen. When his near kinmen hear about what he have done, healing the sick, taking the plagues away from people, the man with the withered hand was healed, and the people with unclean spirits, the demons went out of them, and they were all claiming that he is the Son of God. His family thought he had gone mad, that he allowed them to do so. Now, by the way, if you would have been living in those days, and perhaps you would be a physical relation to Yeshua the Messiah, through his mother and father, that later on he had brothers and sisters that were born, I'm going to talk about it in a moment, what would you think about that? When somebody's coming, and he's performing creative miracles on the spot, what would you do? How would you react? Either he's mad, or not normal, you might say, or he is what he claimed to be. Either he's a lunatic, as one have said, or he is indeed the Son of God, God the Son. You see, if you and I were there 2,000 years ago, we would be astonished. No rabbi conducted himself the way Yeshua the Messiah conducted himself. No Pharisee or Sadducee performed the miracle that he performed as this man from Nazareth by the name of Yeshua have done. You and I would have been fascinated. Never man spake like this man. Never man acted like this man. Never man behaved like this man. Well, God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold my servant. He is my delight. He is the one that I've chosen for myself. I have sent you, Israel, this particular servant who would come to you, and he will be the one that will set the captive free, give sight to the blind. The lame will walk. The blind can see. The deaf will be able to hear. Those that had the demonic spirit will be released from all these kind of things." Read Isaiah chapter 35 and you will see how Isaiah predicted this when the Messiah will come. "Behold your God." He's going to come. But his family, beloved brothers and sisters, his relative heard of it. They went out to lay hold of him, for they said, "He is beside himself. He's mad." In Hebrew, we say the words here, "Hu yatsa mida'ato." His mind is not really there. Something happened to this person that he's doing what he's doing and everybody following after him. He is beside himself, the relative have said. Now, debts that he had relatives and family members is very clear. Because after all, he was born to the virgin Miriam. Yosef was his stepfather, but he was a physical descendant of Miriam, because Miriam was that virgin, the Alma, the Betula, which gave birth in a supernatural way to the man by the name of Yeshua the Messiah. She had relatives, she had a father and a mother and a family. He had a family. But not only these beloved brothers and sisters, he had immediate family, because after time passed by, Miriam became pregnant again by Yosef, her husband, and he had brothers and sisters that were born to Miriam, who were his half-brothers and sisters. And so you notice now we have to jump over from verse 21. We will not read for a moment verse 22 to verse 30. And let's just jump to verse 31. His relative, his family finally have arrived. You see, because according to verse 21 of Mark chapter 3, they have heard all what he have done, and they went out to lay hold of him. They want him to take him away from the crowd, that he would not continue to do what he is doing, because they said he is beside himself. Yatsa midato. So they finally arrive to that place, whichever house it was. It may have been in Kfar Nahum, in the house of Shimon Petros. And when we arrive to verse 31, look what we read. They finally arrive. It says, they came, then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, they sent unto him, calling him. You notice that they arrived to the place where he was. He was in the house. They stayed outside of the house. And they asked for someone to call him out. Notice it says, his brethren, Achav, and his mother, Imo. In Hebrew we know very well Ima Shelo. She was his mother Miriam. And we also have his brethren here. Now, if you don't mind for a moment, turn to Mark chapter 6 with me, just for a second, to see this connection. And in Mark chapter 6, we discover who were his brethren. It says in Mark chapter 6, verse 1, "And he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Shabbat day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And then they said, listen to this, very interesting. Is not this the carpenter, son of Miriam, the brother of Yaakov, James, and Joseph, Yosef, and of Judah, Yehuda, and of Simon, Shimon? And even more, he continued, and are there not his sister here with us? And they were offended at him. You see, apparently, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua, our Messiah, after he was born to the Virgin Miriam, he had half-brothers and half-sisters that were descendants of Miriam as well, but through his stepfather Yosef. And the Bible gives us even the name. The first one is Yaakov, the second one is Yosef, the third one is Yehuda, and the fourth one is Shimon. He had four half-brothers, and also he had sisters, at least two or more. How amazing it is. Now, if you, again, please bear with me. If you would have lived in a home of Miriam and Yosef, when your older brother by the name of Yeshua is right in the midst of you, you would have seen that there's something different about this fellow. Everything he does is perfect. Every word he say is words that is amazing. He always obeyed the parents, never disobeyed. He always submitted to authority. And I can assure you that he must have been distinct from all the others, because they looked at him and they could never kind of reach up to him in that sense. They looked at him as a strange boy, as a strange man. Now imagine, he was working with his father Yosef in the carpenter shop in Nazareth. Now he could, if he wanted, say, table. And the table would have been created.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.